us. Thank you so very much for your ministry and music. Let's dismiss our children 5 years old to 10 years of age to junior church at this time. And while they are exiting, we're going to go ahead and ask the Lord's blessing upon our message today. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, once again to be in your house. Lord, thank you for the blessings of the ministry. Thank you for Brother Dallas Rogers and his ministry in music, and for the preparation of the preaching of your word today. I yield myself to the Holy Spirit of God. I ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would open spiritual ears this morning, that they would hear the message. Dear God, that we would apply it to our lives, that we would have your will and way. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Stand with me 1 minute, if you would, as we read from the scripture out of respect for God's word today. I invite you to turn to the book of Titus this morning, the book of Titus, if you would, right after 2 Timothy. And we are going to read from chapter number 1 this morning, beginning to read in verse number 9. If you will follow along in the scripture, if you do not have a copy of God's word with you this morning, you are welcome to use a copy under the chair in front of you. We just ask that you would replace that when we're done with the service this morning. Let's read from the book of Titus. This is Paul writing to his spiritual son in the ministry. Notice what he says here in verse number 9. Paul writes, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Go with me, if you would please, to chapter number 2, verse number 1. Notice what he writes as he starts out this second chapter. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Drop down also, if you would please, to verse number 8. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Thank you so very much. Be seated, if you would please. This morning, I want to preach on the title of my message this morning is sounds. Sounds. There are sounds all around us this morning. Sometimes there are so many sounds that we often block out what we do not want to hear. Children, especially teenagers, have what is called selective hearing. Been there, done that. Although it seems to reoccur sometimes even after marriage. I'm sure there's spouses that would say amen to that. In the book of Revelation, we are admonished by John to hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. That means that there is a spiritual side of listening to sounds. However, this morning I want us to consider yet another kind of sound in the Bible. Paul tells us here in the book of Titus about sounds. We just read about three of them, which we need to give our attention to this morning. The first one is sound doctrine. The next one is sound faith, and the last one is sound speech. In these cases, the word sound is not just something we hear, but it is describing that which is true and uncorrupted. So as we launch into this study this morning, I first of all want to introduce sound doctrine. And we need to understand this morning, if this world needs anything today, it needs the preaching and the teaching of sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is essential. Listen to me. Sound doctrine is essential. look there in Titus chapter 1 and verse number 9. Holding fast and faithful the word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by what? By sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Who are the gainsayers? The gainsayers are false teachers. The gainsayers are people who are in the ministry for profit, not giving any attention to doctrine, the teaching of God's word. And so we have to understand today that it is sound doctrine that will build a sound church or ministry. There must be the teaching and the preaching of sound doctrine. Now, I understand we are living in the 21st century. I get that. I understand that. Some today say doctrine divides. Therefore, we should not be concerned about doctrine. Rather, we should just focus on love. Well, those of us who have been around since the 60s know that that was the theme of the 60s. Love, 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 love. How did that pay off? Not so well. So this is not a new thought. This is not a new idea. Everybody says, just put down the doctrine. Put the doctrine aside. Let's just come together. Let's just sing Kumbaya. Let's just all get along. Let's just all worship the Lord in love. Well, we have to understand that if we are going to properly worship the Lord, we're going to have to do it doctrinally. So my thought is, when somebody says, well, let's just focus on love, my answer is, that is ridiculous. Why do I say that? Because you cannot focus on the author of this book. You cannot focus on the central figure of this book without sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is essential to worship. Go back a few pages, if you would please, to 2 Timothy, chapter number 3 and verse number 16. Paul is addressing Timothy here in this second chapter, the second book of Timothy, in chapter 3 and verse number 16. Notice what Paul writes. All scripture. Now let me ask you a question. Did he say certain scripture? Did he say some scripture? Did he say popular scripture? No, he did not. He said all scripture is given. How? By inspiration of God, and it is profitable. The word of God is profitable for you this morning in the 21st century. We must understand that. What does he mention first? Let's look at it again. Read the verse. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what's the first word? Doctrine. Doctrine. What is doctrine? Doctrine is what is right. Now he goes on to say, not only is it profitable for doctrine, it is profitable for reproof, it is profitable for correction, it is profitable for instruction in what? Righteousness. Let me use my analogy that I use with this verse. Not everybody uses the same analogy. I'm preaching. So I get to use my analogy. Here it is. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Let's use the analogy of a speed limit sign. The speed limit says, while you're on this stretch of road, that you will not go over this particular speed limit, whatever it might be. It might be a school zone. It might be 15 miles an hour. It might be a neighborhood. It might be 20 or 30 miles an hour. It might be a busy boulevard. It might be 45 miles an hour. It might be on the interstate. It might be 55 or 65. Some parts of the country, 85 miles an hour. But that speed limit there is your teaching. It is your doctrine. Okay? Now, what happens if you violate that and you get caught? Well, you move to what is called the phase of reproof. What is reproof? Reproof is that law officer standing beside you with his little tablet out, and he's asking you the question, where's the fire, Bubba? That's reproof. And then it goes on to say correction. What is correction? That's when he's writing out the citation that you have to go before the magistrate and you have to pay the fine. Then it goes on to say there's one other element, instruction in righteousness. What is that? That is traffic school. So that you might be reminded of what is right, what you're supposed to do. So the Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God or person of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. My friend, the teaching and preaching of doctrine is absolutely essential in God's church. So we must understand that this morning. Jesus Christ is central to all teaching, and what is taught concerning him is what determines whether something is true or something is false. So anytime somebody pretends to teach or preach from the Word of God who teaches or preaches something that is not in this book, that is a false teacher. Now, we know today that this world is filled with false teaching. We know today that there are a myriad of cults out there, cult after cult after cult after cult after cult, who are teaching and preaching something that is not in this book, even to the point where they say that their teaching is equal to or superior to the Word of God. My friend, that is a false teacher. Anything that is taught that is not in this word, that is written in this book, is contrary to the Word of God. Doctrine is absolutely necessary. It must be right if the church is going to be right. And so the teaching and preaching of God's Word. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 3, Paul wrote this. He said, he wrote that at the time would come when many would not endure sound doctrine. Let me ask you a question. Are we there? Yes, we are. There are literally hundreds of churches today that have an assembly but are not teaching the doctrines of the Word of God. And by the way, yes, doctrine does divide. It does divide. It tells you what is the truth. The truth always divides. The truth is always hard to take. But the person who submits to truth is the person who is on the right track. And we have to understand that this morning. We are not smarter than God. If you don't believe me, ask Adam and Eve. We are not smarter than God. We do not have a better plan than Almighty God. If you don't believe that this morning, ask Sarah. When she came up with an idea, and I'm not talking about you, honey. I'm talking about Sarah in the Scripture. Yeah, ask my daughter. No, I'm talking about Abraham's wife. You know the story. You know the story. Doctrine, God's Word, is absolutely imperative. We must follow God's Word. We see clearly today that many people, in respect to a church, are looking for a social club rather than a place where the Word of God is preached purely as it is. You can go into many a church today, and that's all it is a social club. It is sad, sad, sad that the Methodist movement today is not what it was 100 years ago. It is sad today that the Presbyterian movement in America today is not what it was 100 years ago. But you know what concerns me the most? What concerns me the most is that the Baptist movement is not today what it was 100 years ago. Why? Because many have gotten away from the teaching, the sound teaching of the Word of God. Some have been embarrassed by the name Baptist, so they take it off the door, or they put it in tiny little letters as though people can't read. How sad. How sad. Doctrine, doctrine, doctrine is essential when it comes to the teaching and the preaching of God's Word. I recently, a few months ago, was in a church service. The pastor said, he implied that when you walk through that door and you sit in his congregation, that you're a member of his family. Well, that sounds mighty swell, doesn't it? But before you make me a member of your church, I want to know your doctrine. I want to know what you believe about the Word of God. I want to know what you believe about the doctrine of grace. I want to know what you teach and you preach. You see, we're just not supposed to be all one wugmomp. You know, anything goes, any doctrine. Just show up. Just drop a little money in the plate from time to time, and everything's good. Everything's swell. Everything's just wonderful. We'll just sing a little song, and we'll go home, and we'll call it good. No, the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. You see, there are things in Scripture that cannot be ignored. The virgin birth is one of those. You see, Paul said, "What fellowship hath with light with darkness?" We cannot just fellowship with everybody when there's people who deny the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Let me help you to understand something. Jesus was either virgin born or he is a fraud. He is the biggest fraud that ever lived. He had to be virgin born. There's the doctrine of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I don't intend to take you all through all the Baptist doctrines this morning, but I want to help you to understand that doctrine means something. And I can't fellowship with people who believe that they can work their way to heaven. That is not doctrinal. That is a lie from Satan. There is nobody who can work their way to heaven this morning. We say, well, I'll just buy my way. How much do you think it would cost? I'll tell you what it cost. It cost God his only begotten Son. And your filthy lucre will not impress a holy God. You cannot buy your way to heaven. You cannot work your way to heaven. These are doctrines, fundamental pillars of the faith. There are some things that we just, you know, there are minor issues and there are major issues. Things that are doctrinally sound that have stood the test of time. Brother Kennedy talked about the mystery of the church in Sunday school this morning. How that the church is a mystery to every other dispensation that ever existed. They never saw anything like the church. Angels are even wondering about this church. Who started it? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. No, it wasn't Constantine. If you thought that Constantine started the church, you are wrong. You see, my preacher used to say, any church that started before Jesus Christ was too soon. Any church that started after is too late. Baptist Church is the only one who can trace its roots to Jesus Christ. I'll prove it to you. Jesus was baptized by who? Johnny the Episcopalian? Johnny the Presbyterian? John the Baptist, who preaches and teaches the same doctrines that you and I preach today, that there is only one who can save you, and that is Jesus Christ. There is none other. There is no other name given among men whereby you must be saved. And for some charlatan to come along and say, I am on the same level with Jesus Christ, that is a fraud, that is a counterfeit, that is a phony. So do not listen to them. And by the way, they existed in the day of Paul. If there was anything that Paul was concerned about was false teaching in the church. This infant church that God built upon his son, Jesus Christ, he did not want it to be defiled. And so Paul constantly, to every church that he writes to every person that he writes to, he tells them, beware of false teachers. Many preachers do not want anybody to challenge their preaching or teaching. You can challenge me anytime you want, as long as you do it with Scripture and you do it respectfully. We don't have to agree on everything, but show me your position scripturally. Show it to me doctrinally. Too many self-proclaimed prophets are putting their word above the word of God and saying, listen to me. Folks, that is blasphemy. John chapter 5 and verse number 39, Jesus said this, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. Paul instructed the believers, church, to search the scriptures. Don't just take at face value what some man says. Search the scriptures. See if it be so. See if it be the truth. Doctrine is essential to building God's work. Any work that is not built upon the scripture is a false work. And so we must hear, be listening for the sound. When somebody speaks, when somebody teaches, we should be listening for the sound of sound doctrine. Always, 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 always. Secondly, the next sound that we hear is the sound of the next essential sound is the sound of faith. Look in verse number 13, if you would please, there in Titus chapter number 1, verse number 3. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in what? Sound in faith. In other words, if you hear somebody teaching or preaching something that is not sound in faith, then we are to rebuke those individuals. We are to set that straight. We have to understand that is our charge. That is up to us. True faith is dependent upon true doctrine. I'll repeat that. True faith is dependent upon true doctrine. Faith is an expression of what we believe. Faith demonstrates our doctrine. And so there are, we have to plug into that doctrine. We have to know what it is. That will shape our faith. That will help us to serve the Lord. What we believe this morning is determined by what we are taught. Let me repeat that. What we believe this morning is determined by what we are taught. Now, if we're taught as children that only one church saves, and by the way, no church saves. There is not a church that has ever existed who has ever saved anybody. But yet there's a major movement out there that says you have to be a part of this movement. If you're not, you're without hope. Well, prove that by Scripture. You might be able to prove it by your tradition. You might be able to prove it by your visions, supposed, by your miracles, supposed. But what does Scripture say? The Scripture says there's none other name given among men whereby men must be saved, and that is speaking about Jesus Christ. He is the only way. He is the only hope. So our doctrine will eventually show our faith. Our faith has to be rooted in doctrine. It has to be rooted in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and that will produce our faith. If we are living out our doctrine, it will cause us to do things. It will cause us to be regularly in the house of God. We're told in the Scripture not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. God's house, God's church, this unique mystery, God wants us to be a part of it. Some people say, oh, I don't need the church. Well, you don't need the church to go to heaven, but you need the church to help you live until you get there. There's such a thing as fellowship. We all need it. We all need encouragement. We all need the constant teaching and preaching of the Word of God. You say, well, I'm a regular attender. And then I ask the question, how regular are you? Well, I go at Christmas time and I go at Easter. Isn't that pretty regular? Paul said to the Corinthians upon the first day of the week to bring your offerings. Where are you going to bring them? You're going to bring them scripturally to the house of God, because that is where he has chosen to put his name. So our doctrine will show our faith eventually. God tells us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. Just a couple of weeks ago, we had a mission conference. We committed $230,000 this coming year to worldwide evangelization. That's a wonderful thing. That is a commendable thing. And I believe God is in that. And I believe that God will, as he always has, will provide that money. Why? Because it's not our plan. It is God's plan. And God does it through his people. So your doctrine, what you believe, will show in what you do. And we need to understand that this morning. I don't want to get ahead of myself and get into my third point. Let me stick with what I need to stay with here this morning. So we need to understand that faith that isn't genuine is counterfeit. Faith that is not genuine is counterfeit. There are many people in this world. Now notice I didn't use the word sincere. There are many people in this world who are sincere. But nowhere in Scripture did the Bible ever say that if we were sincere, that we would go to heaven. How often do you hear that? Oh, if a person is just sincere in their heart. You know the problem with sincerity is you can be sincerely wrong. You see, because if you believe that just going to church is going to get you to heaven, you're sincerely wrong. If you believe as long as you take communion that you are sincere, you are sincerely wrong. If you are counting on that for your salvation, you are sincerely wrong. If you believe that getting in the baptistry will save you, you are sincerely wrong. If you believe that becoming a Baptist will save you, you are sincerely wrong. There is only one thing that will save your soul, and that is giving your heart and life to Jesus Christ. So sincerity will not do it. Sometimes sharp rebuke is necessary. Once again, look in verse number 13. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. We must rebuke those who teach false doctrine or false faith. Let me ask you a question. Who is responsible today for the teaching of sound doctrine and sound faith? Who is given that responsibility? Okay, pastor, that's good. The local church. The local church, because I don't come in contact with everybody that you come in contact with. And so I am to teach you sound doctrine. You are to share that with other people. And when you hear doctrine that is not correct, and my goodness, there are so many things out there, so much garbage, we must rebuke, we must set things straight, we must tell them what is right. We must do that. If we refuse to speak out of fear for being called judgmental, we are failing the Lord. We must speak the truth. We must stand for what is right. No matter the cost, God holds you and me accountable to defend the truth. We are to be soldiers of Jesus Christ. That is why Paul mentioned in the scripture that we need to be equipped for the battle, to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to avoid the darts of Satan. God help us. Number three, sound speech is essential. Look at it again, if you would, please. In chapter 2, verse number 1. But speak thou, what is that? Speech, right? But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Drop down to verse number 8. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say to you. So we must have sound doctrine, we must have sound faith, and we must have sound speech. Sound words, sound speech, and sound conversation. These all have to do with our behavior. Doctrine equals faith equals speech. Let me repeat that. Doctrine equals faith equals speech. If you really want to know about a person, listen to the things that person talks about. If you really want to know about a person, just listen to what he has to say. Watch his actions. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The mouth speaketh. For those of you who have been believers for any period of time, you know and understand the things that happened in Christianity in the late 80s. There were two men in particular, very well-known men. Large television ministries. They went astray. They both went into immorality. I'm not going to say their names. I think you know who they are. Many people rebuke them for their actions because their actions were clearly wrong. But let me help you to understand that. Long before those men ever went wrong morally, they went wrong doctrinally. And they went wrong in their faith. You write it down. When a person's doctrine is off, his faith will be affected, and his speech and his actions will come out. We have to understand that. We must understand that. I remember door knocking in the late 80s. Knock on a door. Yeah, we know all about you churches. We know all about all this money you raise and you live in these fabulous mansions. And I'm saying, I'd love to take you to my house. Mansion. Oh no, my mansion is over the hilltop. It's not in this world. No. You see, because right or wrong, the world looked at the church during the 80s, in the late 80s and the early 90s. By what they saw, the actions of a few preachers on television who went morally wrong, They lump everybody together. So everybody's like these guys. We're all alike. No, we are not. Let me help you to understand something. If a preacher goes wrong, turn around. Head the right direction. If we confess our sin, there's hope. There's hope. There was hope for David. There was hope for Abraham. There was hope for Isaac. There was hope for Jacob. And you really expect me to believe that when we sin, that God just throws us away? No, he does not. He gives us the opportunity to repent. And so, thank God, we can come back and we can do the right things. But before a man goes wrong morally, he goes wrong doctrinally. And he goes wrong in his faith. This world is filled this morning with folks who look fine on Sunday. Come to the house of God. Look like a Christian. Smell like a Christian. Act like a Christian until they get outside that door. Lost people need to see real faith and real speech. This world needs to see people who are in sound doctrine, who are sound in faith, and they are sound in speech. Let me ask you a question this morning. Does that describe you? Are you real? Are you real? Are you one person on Sunday and a different person on Monday? Are you real? That is what the world is looking for. Let it start with doctrine. Correct doctrine. Let it produce faith that brings forth the right kind of speech, the right kind of actions, because that is what people are looking for. They don't want to hear what you have to say until they see how you act. It behooves us to listen to the right sounds, the correct sounds, so that we can be honoring and glorifying to Jesus Christ. My friend, if that's not you, the altar is available. If you need salvation, the altars are available. If you need church membership, the altars are available. We'd be glad to talk to you about it. We're coming up to the most vital and important time of our spiritual year in just a couple of weeks, the Lord's Supper. Are you ready for that? Are you ready spiritually for that occasion? God wants it to be a turning over of a new leaf, a brand new spiritual year. Are you ready? Are you prepared in your heart to commune with the Lord? Heavenly Father, help us today. Dear God, may we be of sound doctrine. May we be of sound faith, knowing and understanding that we are in Christ, not by anything we've done, but only by virtue of the fact of what he did on Calvary. We've confessed our sins. We've invited him into our heart. We've asked him to produce fruit in our life, including our actions. Lord, help us today to listen to the right sounds, to listen to the sounds of Scripture, to close out all the clatter, to close out all the stuff that is yelling at us, that is trying to get us our attention, that's trying to pull us away. Help us today in Jesus' name. Please stand.